And on the line with me right now is both Roland and Susan. Good morning. How are you both?
Good morning.
It's been a while. I know that we have spoken before. And I spoke to you when you were in your Tucson show. And then, of course, you moved up to Biltmore. But I wondered if one of you can volunteer. Give us a brief overview of Carnival of Illusion. Now, this is not a regular magic show, is it? There's something special about it.
Well, we like to say we take people around the world in 80 minutes. There's something for everyone. And so it's not just a particular magic show where there's a male in a tuxedo pulling things out of the air. There's two magicians, and I am one of them, one of the few female magicians in the world.
It's like the old-time Victorian parlor games, isn't it?
Well, we do really enjoy that flavor, and what we like is we've done shows for many thousand people all over the country, but this is very small and intimate because we don't get to experience that in our modern world too much anymore. So we do like to invite people into our parlor or our living room and perform to them as our special guest.
What's the kind of average number of people that you have in your audience at any given time? It's not a particularly grand number, is it?
It's
very intimate.
It's 75.
75.
And so it's very small, it's very intimate, and we like people to be up close. So even the back row is closer than any normal regular event that you would go to, even the first row there.
Right, right.
When you saw us in the Tucson area, 25% of our audience would come down from the greater Phoenix area, either turn around and drive home or maybe make a little staycation. And we'd have so many people from the Phoenix area, and they would say, "Wow, I have these big skybox seats in the big dome there in Phoenix." But this is really cool because it is so up close and intimate, and that's really what we wanted to capture, that excitement and that, so people could feel the magic right there.
Exactly. Was the move to the Biltmore a little scary for you when you did it for the first time?
No, it really wasn't. We've done shows for all over the country. It's a beautiful property. If anything, it was an exciting move. It's a fantastic property. It's got a wonderful history, and we really like being part of that venue, that resort. But there's some other things that's happened since we even saw you, which was quite a while ago.
Well, I know that you've done some traveling around. I think you were in California a while, and of course you're back, and there's another location. But I don't want to jump ahead.
Okay,
me know what you've been doing.
Well, actually, we just got back from Paris.
Oh.
Yesterday.
So we're still having jet lag.
We're still touring around, which is great. But do you
do your act in French when you're there, or is it an English act?
Well, this time we were actually looking more for magical history because France is kind of known for their, I don't know if the right word is inventing, but really making the parlor up close magical experience a hit, and that started in about 1850. So we looked for a lot of the historical people. We actually visited, you might have been familiar with Méliès. There was a movie recently called Hugo.
Right. In fact, it's funny you should say that, Roland, because I was even thinking of that example, because as movies literally did begin in France, it was the equivalent of a parlor show, wasn't it?
That's right. And it was the magicians that did it because they were making new magical effects with the new modern technologies. And Méliès was one of them who ended up discovering all these techniques of film that we all know what they are today, you know, cutting and edits and moving things. Remember Bewitched, and she ran around and she disappeared. That was all from Méliès.
Right, right.
And so we wanted to honor him because it was one of our heroes, and we visit his grave. And we also looked for a theater by the name of Robert Houdin. And the Hugo movie was actually a combination of these two performers.
Right. And if I remember from the movie, a lot of those artifacts that he had originally were actually destroyed, weren't they? And a lot of his movies were.
Yes, a lot of them were. But again, it was a combination of the real Méliès. And the real Méliès was the filmmaker, and a lot of his were destroyed, his films. There are still some available. But the other gentleman who made the actual automaton was Robert Houdin, and that was the two characters they put together, and those are still around.
So you're back from Paris. You're obviously here in Arizona now, but things have changed a little bit because you began in Tucson. Of course, you have Biltmore, but you're somewhere else now as well.
That's right. You were really wonderful in giving us visibility when we were in Tucson, and combined with all the people that were coming down, we opened up at the Biltmore. But even having the two locations, there's too many people wanting to see shows. So we've opened a third location, and that is at the ASU Care Theater. It's a division of ASU Gamage. And the Care Cultural Center is another historic, intimate, beautiful theater that a lot of people don't know about it, but yet it's right in the middle of Scottsdale. It's very close to Old Town.
And that is spelled K-E-R-R, but it's pronounced Care.
Care. Oh, ASU Care. But
yes.
The same theme is the same. You're still designing it with the parlor room effects.
That's right. In that location, we have 75 seats. Again, it only has four rows.
Oh.
So even the furthest row is so close that we can touch you. In fact, we do. We pull people from the row, and that's going to be in the show.
Well, you know, I know that when I saw your Biltmore, I was picked on, which was great because, unlike a lot of people, I actually was looking forward to being picked on. But I was wondering, Roland, Susan, do you tend to see some familiar faces from time to time, return visitors who, you know, you can pick on a second time maybe?
I'll tell you, we have the greatest, greatest guests, and they do, and they have such a fun time that they want to share that experience. So often we see so many people. We've had people that've seen the show 7 and 8 times.
Wow.
Actually, one of my fun story is a gentleman who came, and he brought his father and, you know, the family that took the whole front row. And then the next year he said, "Hey, Dad, you know, what do you want to do for your birthday?" He's like, "I want to go to that Carnival of Illusion show for his 90th birthday." So he came back for his 90th birthday. And then we opened the Phoenix show, and the next year his father was in the front row and brought a date.
A date at 90. That's excellent.
91 years old then. Wow. At that point. So
I'm kind of curious how old she might have been.
Well, she looked like a little spring chicken.
They're both pretty spunky, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That is so funny. The fun of your show, Roland, I should say, is that if you don't participate, you actually feel at the end of it that you've missed out on something. You could have had the spotlight on you.
Well, it's a spotlight, but also the magic happens to you.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing when you see magic on television and you know there's trick photography, or if it's very far away on a huge stage and you go, there's strings that I couldn't see. But when it's that close and then you're on the stage, it's really a special event for people to say, wow, this really happens. And the magic touches them.
And, you know, David, I think Rowan and I were so sensitive to that particular feeling, because there were times when I would be in an audience and I would be the person and everybody would laugh and I'd pretend like that was funny, but really I didn't like how I felt inside. So what Rowan and I really, we made a pact in the very beginning that this show is going to be fun for everyone. And what we did was, as soon as someone was chosen out of the audience, they received a gift. Boom. So it wasn't like, oh no. So that sting wasn't there. And it was like, thank you so much for helping us, because they really are a part of the show, and that's really key to our performance and for their enjoyment in the evening.
Right.
And I think that's why so many people want to return and share that experience, because they know it's safe, that you're going to be, I think, a different person when you leave. So often we see people as they walk in, and then it seems like as they leave our show, there's a change that happens.
So in conclusion, you're appearing in three locations at different times. You still travel around but back to Tucson, back to the Biltmore, and of course over to ASU. Is that right?
That's correct.
And we also do a lot of the corporate events. We're going to be featured in the upcoming, even in Texas, the Texas Association of Magicians, and we'll be the featured performers there. So we do a lot of things that are not just in the parlor, but we also have a stage show.
Terrific, terrific. Well, I know that you have the Carnival of Illusion website. What I'll do is I'll make sure that we have the links for listeners to be able to just easily click on it. It'll go straight to you. They can find out all about the times, dates, and tickets. They can even pick locations, I'm guessing, wherever they happen to be and what's nearest to them. Well, once again, Roland, Susan, it's been terrific talking to you. My last question, I'm kind of curious here, on a more personal level. How long have you been together?
Ooh la la.
Wow. You want to know the good stuff now, don't you, David?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, Susan and I actually started working together about
2002.
So 10, 12 years ago. And we worked together quite a while, and then we started seeing each other in a different way other than just business, in a romantic way.
Say no more.
And it wasn't until we actually just got married a year ago.
Congratulations.
And the date was 1313, so it's lucky 1313.
Oh, my gosh. So, again, Susan, Roland, many, many thanks. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And we will have links for listeners to be able to just find out what is most convenient for them in terms of location, times, and dates. And best of luck.
Well, thank you, and thank you. It's great being with you again, David.
And Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
Happy New Year. I appreciate it.